Yes, it's that time of the week then. Welcome along to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. On King George weekend, we've got Ascot and York to look forward to this weekend. Seven races on ITV, the appetizer for the Qatar Goodwood Festival next week. Don't forget Galway as well. And as I mentioned that, we have got a special postcast for you next week. Not next week. We got it on Sunday, our top five bets video coming to you here on the postcast. We've actually got Johnny Pearson, David Jennings coming in to give a bit of a Galway angle, and Ed will be on the show with myself this Sunday at 7 p.m. as well. Looking forward to that. Who joins me this week? As you can see on your screens, we have Harry Wilson, who is back after a long break. Haven't seen him on the show for quite a while. And we have Matt Rennie alongside, as usual, Ed Nicholson from Unibet. Ed, there's going to be plenty of offers this weekend. We've got some decent handicaps, some really top-class racing. What have we got from Unibet this weekend?
Yeah, plenty of mix of offers. The money back second, the third, which is always a good offer, is available in one of the big races. Lots of extra places, and also lots of really good horses in action at Ascot. But there's one or two youngsters on the scene that might end up being group horses. I know you love this expression, group horses running in a handicap. We've got a couple of those this weekend as well. So, yeah, plenty of action, plenty of offers. And as you quite rightly said, it's a wonderful hors d'oeuvre to next week's festivals in Galway and Goodwood.
Yeah, it's going to be a cracking week next week, but do check the Unibet website and app out for all of the offers there. Right, let's get straight into the action then, gentlemen, and we start off at Ascot. We're going to go through the Ascot card first. The 145 is the 6 furlong Princess Margaret Japan Cup Stakes, a Group 3 contest for the two-year-olds, and Unibet's prices at the moment have Dark Issue as the 11-4 favourite. Alta Regina is 3-1. Dee's Funny Girl, 5-1. Moonrise, 6-1. Velazi is 10-1 and 12-1. And bigger the rest of the field. Never really like starting the postcast with a two-year-old race. They're always difficult to try and find the winner of, Harry Wilson. But there's one man who can probably give a little bit of an angle. What did you make of this?
Yes, hi Sam, you're right, mate. Yeah, so it's basically a pick of the Royal Ascot form lines, isn't it? You're either going to go with the Albany, we've got the Windsor Castle, and we've got the Queen Mary. I quite like the look of the Queen Mary form. Senorita Benita came second in that. She won a good race at Newmarket. And I actually backed Alta Regina that day, who, if I remember rightly, was quite well supported. And she ran fine in sixth. Wasn't the best run, but she was doing good work late on, which was the same case as on her debut when she bolted up at Lingfield. Time of that's really solid, and I'd be surprised if she didn't improve for the 6th furlong. So that'll be my selection again, Alta Regina.
Yeah, Alta Regina in the Waftan colours. Jamie Spencer taking the ride there. That was the way that I looked at this. If I had to be with one, it's not a race that I'm that strong on this weekend, but I do like Alta Regina. Matt Rennie, did you have much of an opinion on the opening race we're looking at from Ascot?
Same as Harry, really. I'd much rather be going along the form lines of the Queen Mary than the Albany Stakes at this stage, just looking at the, you know, what's emerged since. Multiple listed winners, Group 2 winner Senorita Benito, who beat the Albany Stakes winner Libertango at the Newmarket's July Festival. And I possibly think Victorious is an absolute Group 1 machine for it as a juvenile this season. I thought the run was pretty respectable, really. Smaller field this time round. Same reasons as Harry. Looks like the step up to 6 furlongs will be absolutely in her stride. And I'd very much rather be on that Queen Mary form, as I said. So Alta Regina for me.
Oh, we're in agreement. Three of us already. Ed Nicholson, can we have a postcast where there's plenty of agreement this week?
Well, I mean, she's a likely winner, isn't she? She's got the form in the book and not that far behind at Royal Ascot. But I've gone for an outsider here, just based on a couple of reasons. One is the stable form, and two, I saw a run at Chepstow and I thought she looked a filly full of promise. I'm talking about Miss Cody, trained by Clive Cox, who has had a stellar year with his two-year-olds. He's had 10 two-year-old winners with 7 different horses, including Orthodox in the Norfolk Stakes and Sky Secret, who's a potentially nice horse. And Miss Cody won at Chepstow despite drifting. It was noticeable how far she drifted out to. I think she was 6-1 in the end. Clive Cox was there that day. She was the only runner that Clive Cox had. And I spoke to him afterwards, and she's obviously a filly they think a lot of. Swished her tail a couple of times, which you don't like to see. But went away in the closing stages to win by, you know, any sort of distance. And she looks like a filly who will improve. Whether she'll improve to this step up in class in one go, I don't know. But you're getting 14-1. And the reason why I kind of want to give her a chance is not only does she leave a favourable impression with me at Chepstow, Clive Cox has got quite a good record at Ascot generally and with his two-year-olds. He doesn't overface them or overrace them. Just looking over the last few years, or his career, he's had 53 winners from 514 runners at Ascot. If you backed every one, you'd get a £51 profit. And his two-year-old is 15 from 107, but again, plus 136. Now, those experts on the show and listening will probably think, yeah, but that's because one winner went off 150-1. And you're right, Nando Prado won the Coventry at 150-1. So those kind of PL level stakes are probably not applicable. But that, in its own right, that goes to show you that he does run horses at Ascot that have a chance even when they're big prices. So, yeah, I thought Miss Cody was a good price, big price. The form hasn't worked out that well either. The horse in second, Absolute Diamond, has been beaten twice. But it's just the way she did it. I just thought she was a nice prospect. And at 14-1, I'm just going to throw a dart at her to beat the more fancied horses who ran at Royal Ascot. And we are going Super Boost on this race.
Super Boost in this race here then. Yeah, it's an intro one, Miss Cody, 14-1. Coming in here off the one run, but the rest of the gentlemen and myself will be Valter Regina in the opening race that we're looking at from Ascot. Let's move on to the 220 at Ascot, which is the 1 mile Logine Valiant Stakes Group 3 for the fillies and mares, where Tulene is topping the market with Unibet 5-4 on favourite currently. Contiki is 4-1, Skydance 15-2, Pina Sonata 11-1, Esna 12-1, Sakanya is 14-1, Arasag 22-1, 33-1 about Cheshire Dancer. Matt, I'll come to you first on this one here. Tulene was probably the horse that a lot of people watched at Royal Ascot and thought, God, this horse was very, very unlucky, and this is the time that she's going to come out and probably prove that she was unlucky. Do you think that she is the worthy favourite here?
Yeah, very much so. And even on her pedigree, just the way these Shadwell horses are, it screams to me like she's going to get better as racing goes on, and it's still been very much a learning curve, even though she was mightily impressive in her maiden win last season. It seems like she's still a little bit all at sea until last time out, where it really came together quite nicely. Obviously, bit of a concern. Precise was put firmly in her place by the older horses, by Blue Bolt in the Falmouth Stakes last time out. But I suspect this is just an easier drop in class, and she'll relish that. So it's not really a race. I'm not going to have a bet in this race. But I also think, you know, Sakanya wasn't too far behind Tulene in the Coronation Stakes, and she was racing, waiting for room there as well. Obviously, she's a Group 3 winner already this season in the Fred Darling Stakes, where she beat Tulene. So not without a little shout as well, each way.
Yeah, no, I do think Tulene is really solid at the top. I think she's probably going to go and win this. Harry, I've been back and forth from my desk today. My desk is currently situated right next to yours. And I think, you know, you've been mentioning Arasag and Contiki's name for probably the past hour or so, and debating which way to go. Which way have you end up going, and why were you debating between the two?
Yeah, it's been one of these races where you see just cannot get a handle on it. Like, I could really make a case for so many horses in this race. But Tulene, obviously, you could see she was unlucky, and I think Safi Osborne's the unlucky one here, not being able to be jocked up. They've gone for Buick. He's a very good jockey, but I don't think Safi did a lot wrong at Royal Ascot. She was just unlucky. I do think that the Duke of Cambridge will be stronger than the Coronation. As Matt touched on, Precise not getting near Blue Bolt. Contiki and Arasag were both in that race, separated by two lengths. They also met a good one on their reappearance, and the gap was roughly the same. Contiki, though, interestingly, came from further back at Ascot than Arasag, which is quite a rarity given the hold-up tactics that Arasag usually plays. And I actually thought she ran really well. So probably I am leaning towards Contiki, but five times the price of Arasag may tempt me on the day.
Okay. Yeah, no, I can definitely see it. I mean, it's interesting that Arasag has not ended up going to Goodwood. I mean, did have a Sussex Stakes entry, but the confirmations have come through just before we've come on air, and it doesn't look like she's going to be in there. And she's not in the Golden Mile either, but she loves Goodwood, but not going to be turning up there. She could still go to the Celebration Mile there, I suppose, later on in August. So a vote for Contiki there. Ed, how did you look at the Valiant Stakes?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it all revolves around the favourite, Tallinn. And being a three-year-old taking on the older horses, this race had favoured the three-year-olds taking on the older horses in the years gone by. The last, I think, 25, 26 years, there's been the strike rate of three-year-olds is better than any other year. There'd been more of them, but 16 out of 168 three-year-olds this century have won. That's over 13.5%. Four-year-olds, 7 from 70. Five-year-olds, 2 or 3 from 16. Can't read my notes there. So, you know, I'd wanted to be with a three-year-old here. And Tallinn, just, I mean, every single box she ticks. She's a best performance last time out, tick. Top rated in the race on official ratings, tick. And ran really well over the course and distance last time, tick. And she kind of sandwiched between two classic winners last time in the Coronation Stakes Group 1, taking a drop in class or two drops in class. I mean, really, she should be winning this. My only concern actually is a positive that everybody else has said. They've all said she was very unlucky in running. I always see that as I don't see that as a positive all the time, because if you can't get out of trouble in that time in a race when you need to get out, there's always the reason for it, normally, I think. I watched the replay 3 or 4 times and she didn't have the speed to get that space. And then she did, and even when she ran on, you didn't think she was going to come second. I didn't, looking at the replay again. So she definitely ran on. So there's a slight worry. I won't be having a bet on her, but a 4 to 5, I think there are so many positives that she's definitely the most likely winner. But that just a little doubt in my mind that she couldn't quicken when she needed to. And that would be enough to put me off having a bet. We are going industry top price on this race from 12 o'clock, I think it is, tomorrow. On Saturday. Every horse will be the best price in the village with Unibet.
Okay, there you go then. Yeah, Tallinn is the one that you're either kind of with or against her, but if you are thinking she's going to go and win this, it might not be a bet for you. And as we say on this podcast all the time, you don't have to bet in every race during the weekend. So yeah, Tallinn looks like a hot favourite in this race here, but Contiki the one for Harry Wilson. Let's move on to the big handicap there at Ascot. It's the Moen Shannon International Handicap over 7 furlongs there at 2.55, where Extremely Zane tops the market with Unibet 15-8, very short here. Mezcala's 11-2, Completely Random 13-2 alongside Back in Black. Amazing Journey 15-2, Acadian Thunder 10-1, Alto, winner of the Bunbury Cup 12-1, and 14-1, and bigger about the rest of the field here. Ed, I'm actually going to come to you first, Neil. I don't know whether you've managed to have a chat with the traders during the week, but this favourite here, Extremely Zane, has been as hot as cinnamon in the betting, really has been really strong. And I've got a feeling that, you know, this is where you were mentioning a group horse in a handicap.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Well, last time out at York, you couldn't be anything but impressed by the way this lightly raced, inexperienced individual quickened up in the closing stages and won despite all those potential negatives. And I mean, I know jockeys do this for effect, but Kieran Fallon was very happy with the horse when he crossed the line, gave him a great big pat on 3 or 4, which suggests to me that he thought the horse did well to win from the inexperienced position that he was in, coming through a lot of horses. And that was definitely an upgrade on the horse's previous runs. It is mentioned on the Racing Post that he was in a Sussex Ace, but I don't see that entry anymore, but maybe that's me. But I do see that he's in the Golden Mile. He's gone up from 93 to, what, 101, is he? Which, the way that he ran, the fact he's got hardly any miles on the clock, you would suggest he's well capable of overcoming. Incidentally, I should direct podcast listeners and viewers to a brilliant article by Paul Keeley in the Racing Post, who looks at big handicaps, and his way of betting is always to be going for the 25-1 shots plus. I mean, 14, 16 maybe, but he likes going for big price, a bit like Harry as well. And he just did some analysis on these handicaps over the last few years, and he's noticed that the winning horses are tending to be less odds than 12-1 nowadays, and it's getting less and less, and there's a reason behind that, and he explains that reason. But it's really interesting, because when I looked at the race, I was wanting to tip Extremely Zane up because of that, the rare reason, but I can't be backing him at 2-1. I mean it just goes against everything to back him in a £150,000 handicap at 2-1. It's just ridiculously short. So I looked elsewhere. I liked Alto. In fact, I tipped Alto to win this race a couple of years ago after he did what he did last week at Newmarket, or 2 weeks ago. He won the Bunbury Cup and then he came here, was favourite, and and didn't win. And he's also ran in this race following a second in the Bunbury Cup, and he didn't win. He's 0-4 at Ascot, and he's been well handicapped on a couple of occasions following that Bunbury Cup, and he hasn't won. You would think the way he runs, coming from behind of a fast pace at 7 furlongs, with that little uphill finish at Ascot, would suit him. But he's not done it yet from favourable positions in the handicap. So I'm going to go against him as well. I did look at Two Tribes. And actually, I had a dream about Two Tribes 2 days ago. I started singing Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Two Tribes. And I've wondered, why did I do that? And it's because he won this race, didn't he, a couple of years ago, I think, Two Tribes. Number one for 11 consecutive weeks in 1984. But I've gone against him as well, and I'm going to go for Amazing Journey. I know it's been a bit of an amazing journey to get to the horse, but Amazing Journey is the one for me. 6 furlongs, won really easy at Ascot for fast pace, and it won so easily. This is a step up to 7 furlongs. We'll get the fast pace. Looks an improver still. I mean, Extremely Zane's obviously going to improve, but this Amazing Journey still can improve. Only 3 from 8 on the turf. I think the 7 furlongs will suit this horse even better than the 6 furlongs, and shows he likes the track. So I thought Amazing Journey at 8-1, still not a massive price, but similar sort of type to Extremely Zane, I think, and you're getting more price. So yeah, I've gone for Amazing Journey.
Okay, Amazing Journey. Yeah, as Harry Wilson said, the unlucky Safi Osborne at Royal Ascot. But yeah, she's aboard that horse, Amazing Journey. Harry, I'm going to come to you just for your view on actually how you bet in races like this, because it's not often we get in a handicap, you know, a group horse like this, or the potential group horse like this. We'll talk about that when we get to York, where it's a lot more open. We see these horses all the time. When you get a horse like this come into this market, how do you analyse this race? Do you firstly look at them and go, do you know what, that's just going to win. That's the one that's going to go and win. Or do you immediately go, I've got to find a way of taking this on?
Yes, it is interesting, Sam. Like, it's obviously shortened throughout the week, and it's probably going to get shorter. Bit like More Thunder, if you remember, it was that in the Bunbury Cup, where it went off a silly price. I think you just have to take every race on its merits. For one, I don't particularly think Extremely Zane is a group horse and a handicap. There's no doubt that he won well at York, but there was nothing in that race. The time was weak. I don't know. It could just be improved from that, as obviously he's. As he could, but I don't know. He didn't scream group horse to me, so that's the reason I'd be taking him on. I backed 2 Anthony Post in this race. One, the Amazing Journey, Zed's already touched on, who I think will relish 7 furlongs. I think Jamie Osborne's been debating it for ages, taking him up to 7 furlongs, and I think this race will really suit. But as Ed's already spoken about him, I'll talk about Back in Black. Who's the other horse that I've backed. Bit of a cliff horse for me, but I do think that a proper 7 furlong test is what he needs. He got that in the Bunbury Cup, and I thought he ran a brilliant race. The move that he made to lead from the back just screamed of a well-handicapped horse, and he doesn't have to carry the penalty that Alto does here. So yeah, I think Back in Black and Amazing Journey will give you a really solid chance of getting the favourite beat.
Hey, Back in Black, Amazing Journey. Yeah, Amazing Journey seems fairly hot in what, you know, could be a competitive handicap away from Extremely Zane. Matt Rennie's probably itching to get up to York and preview the racing there when we get to the jumps jockeys going over the sprint trips. But Matt, who did you like in this year's international?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's an absolute lottery, isn't it? Extremely Zane is extremely short, so you've got to try and take them on. It is a devilishly difficult handicap, even though there is only 17 runners this year. And I know we've all been touching on recently about the lack of runners in these big race handicaps. So the Bunbury Cup only had 13, didn't it? So they're not the races they once were, sadly. I'm going quite high up in the weights, and we're completely random. I thought he ran a stormer in the Wokingham Stakes last time. He only goes off £4 higher, this off 102, even though his official current mark, 102 on the flat on the turf, so £4 higher. And he's done well on that mark for. He's a listed winner off that mark earlier this year, albeit it was on the all-weather, so you can say it might not have been one of the best, you know, listed races in the world. But I just thought it was a terrific run there in the Wokingham last time. He tends to run really well at Ascot as well. He ran well in the Wokingham last year as well. So I just wondered if there might be a little bit more not more to come from him, but he might run his usual race off a 4 pound higher mark, which might just be in his grip. But it's incredibly difficult, and I can see the reasons for Amazing Journey as well. But I'm going to side with Completely Random. He's more exposed at this level, but we'll know he'll give a good running.
Okay, yeah, Completely Random. Yeah, I don't know how to. I haven't really got a massive say in it, but when I do see these horses now, I do not panic, but I think, oh God, do I just leave this alone? Do I back this favourite? Do I listen to all of the rumours? It really is a fascinating race. Ed, have you got anything more to say on this race?
Yeah, we've got extra place in this race, as you'd expect. I mean, I say that, it's 2-1 the field, but it normally is a very competitive race. Looking back the last few years, it has been won by Big Outsider. Two tries, 25. Before that, Northern Express, 22, and Baradar at 16-1. So, you know, these big price horses do go in this race. And one thing about this race from the William Haggis point of view, again, if you read that Paul Keighley column, it does mention these big trainers that are winning these races time and time again. William Haggis is actually 0-16 in this race. So he has tried quite often to win it. I mean, I know that's not a massive amount of data, but it's been interesting. He's had he's had seven of those 16s have been single figure odds. So it's not like he's been running 100-1 shots in this race. So just shows you how difficult it is to win this race. So that's another reason probably to go against a 7-4, 15-8, 2-1 shot, I suppose.
Yeah, we'll wait to see how good Extremely Zane could be. Now let's talk about some real proper group horses. The King George VI and Queen Elizabeth Stakes, Marlon Haar, 3:35 Ascot, a Group 1 that looks like an absolute belter of a field. They've all held their ground, basically, after the final entries. Kalanian 6-4, Masquerade Bull 7-2. They had a right battle, didn't they, in the Japan Cup. Benvenuto Cellini, the Irish Derby winner, and the one that didn't want to... Well, I don't know what to say what happened at Epsom. Mini Hawk is currently 6-1. Kalpana is 8-1. Goliath, former winner, 17-2. Wurttemberg 50-1, Lamborn is 100-1, and Action is 125-1. This really is an absolute cracker of a right international feel to it. We've got Calandagan, last year's winner in here. Like I say, had a battle with Masquerade Bull, who has been really well talked up after Gallop at Newmarket on Wednesday morning. Maddie Player was there and said that this horse worked really well. And I think Robbie Wilder's listening to him on the desk this morning was quite keen on Masquerade Bull. Benvenuto Cellini, obviously, came back after what happened at Epsom and ended up winning the Irish Derby in impressive style. Mini Hawk was tipped up anti-post by Pricewise. I think Mini Hawk could run an absolute belter of a race and has shortened in the betting. And Kalpana, last year's second in this race. It is a really strong race, Harry Wilson. I've looked at this over and over and I can't get over how good a race this could be. But then I just thought, I don't need to overcomplicate this. I think Calandagan will just go win it again.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Sam. Yeah. He is the best horse in the world. A lot of people are making up that, like, obviously he didn't run very well in the coronation and he won a week running of the Grand Prix de Saint-Cloud. But if you actually watch that race, like, Barcelona was, well, I think he was having a laugh, to be honest, sticking him right out the back, gave like the leader about 15 lengths, and then just walked past him like they were stood still. He's a very good horse. Ascot form figures at 1-2, 1-1 tell you everything. He beat Ombudsman at Ombudsman's favourite course and distance. But I really can't see him getting beat, to be honest.
I'm in agreement. I really am. I mean, Barcelona's not going to get away with what he did at Saint-Cloud in this race, for sure. Like, but he's not going to do that. He's going to likely sit a bit closer to the pace in a race like this. I mean, he mowed down Kalpana last year, but this is a lot stronger. But I do think he's still the animal that he was last year. We'll wait and see. Matt, how did you analyse this year's King George?
Yeah, it's been one of the best races you've seen for an absolute long time, I reckon. I'm so fearful of Calandagan, and I think he is the likely winner. However, I just can't be drawn away that I think Mini Hawk is way too overpriced for her ability, and the fact I think she's been running completely over trips she's not suited to at all this season, and still in two of those three runs ran with great credit. The Tattersall's Gold Cup was essentially her first disappointment of her career. Look, I know she was beaten in the Breeders' Cup Turf last year, but that was after running an absolute stormer in the arc on basically needing wellies to get through the Longchamp mud. She's back up to her best trip. She tracks the leaders. She's going to be absolutely relentless towards the finish and going to put a right fight up to Calandagan. I am just worried. I think Calandagan's an amazing horse, by the way, and he's turned into a real favourite of not only me, but a lot of people's as well. So I do think Kalani has a likely winner, but I'm likely to back Mini Hawk back at a mile and a half. She's a top class filly. I think she's just sort of being underestimated a bit, really. And I do like Benvenuto Cellini as well as a horse, but I'm starting to question myself on the Derby form, basically. So I'm probably going to give it a miss this day and side with Mini Hawk, even though Ryan's on Benvenuto Cellini.
Yeah. I do think Mini Hawk is going to beat Benvenuto Cellini. You actually look at the ARC market, completely different to the market for the King George. His Mini Hawk with Unibet is currently 7-1, and Benvenuto Cellini is double the price at 14s. And price-wise, I've mentioned him already, but he actually tipped up at the end of last season. He had to give an anti-post bet for the following season. He said he thinks DeRisa Mini Hawk will finish 1-2 in the ARC in any order this season coming. I think that's going to happen. I genuinely do. I think Mini Hawk's still a classy animal, and we'll go to the art of a right chance. Do you agree, Harry, with me that you think Mini Hawk will probably beat Benvenuto Cellini?
Yeah, I do. I knew that Ryan Moore was going to pick Benvenuto Cellini. Yeah. He does tend to side with the three-year-old, but look where that got him with August Rodin, and like he flopped massively, and I'd arguably say he was a better Derby winner than Benvenuto Cellini. Like that Irish Derby, Christmas Day loved the soft ground at Epsom and won that. He was on quicker ground in the Irish Derby, and he still didn't finish that far behind him. I can't see. I'd say that Clanigan beats Mini Hawk. The one that I'm worried about is Masquerade Ball. He did get so close to Clanigan in the Japan Cup. They were both probably not well suited by how that race was run. They both like to come from off the pace. And his run in Hong Kong last time was very eye-catching. But I think it's the course factor. Ascot plays such a massive part in these decisions, and Clanigan just loves it there.
He certainly does. Ed, you've got the final say on this year's King George. As the gents have mentioned, it is an absolute belter.
Absolutely love this race. The winners over the years, just the who's who of brilliant race horses. I remember 1981 Shergar winning it. I was at my cousin's birthday, and wedding, and I kind of moved away to watch it on the TV. And ever since then, really, it's been a must to watch it year in, year out. Some truly amazing horses won this. And Calandagan, as was just said today, it just has become one of those horses that you love. You know, there was a question mark about maybe the resolution, 2 years ago, but has progressed into one of the best horses in the world. I think he's £1 below Ombudsman and Kai Ying Rising, I think, in the world rating. So you can't oppose him. I think 13-8, 6-4. Not a bad price, to be honest. Let's put it this way. I think it'll be shorter come the day. Whether it's a good price is probably questionable, but I think it'll be shorter come the day. And, the trainer is trying to join Saeed Bensour and Noel Murlis as the only trainer to win three consecutive King Georges done in the respectively 90s and 60s. So he knows what to do. He knows how to get a horse there. And I can't see Calandagan losing myself. I think there are potentially other horses that at their best could give him a race, but it seems that Calandagan always runs his race. So going back to Ascot, I think he's the one they've all got to beat, as the betting suggests, and I don't think they will beat him. We're going Super Boost, though, so every horse in this race will be the next price up from the opening show.
I'll be looking for that Super Boost on Calandagan. I'm really looking forward to that. Do not miss it. Let me tell you, on Saturday, no matter what you're doing, ensure that you switch on your phone, your TV or whatever, for the King George at 3:35. It's going to be an absolute belter. Right, that's it then for our Ascot preview. We're going to be looking at York and some jump jockeys taking on a sprint trip shortly after this.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions. Percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not. Overnight market moves. Eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious edge.
Welcome back to part two of this week's Racing Postcast. Sam Hart, Harry Wilson, Matt Rennie and Ed Nicholson taking you through the ITV action this weekend. And we are travelling up to York now for three races. And the first of which we'll be previewing is the 1:30, which is the very unique Jumps Jockeys Nunthorpe Handicap. This is obviously ridden by professional jump jockeys, and currently looking at Unibet's market, Emerald Harmery is 9-2 favourite. Jonathan England taking the ride there. Lethal Nymph 5-1 with Johnny Burke on board. Kodiak Thrillers 7-1. Managing Director 8-1. Cayman Tie 9-1. Also Bayrat is 9-1. Double figures about the rest of the field. Worth mentioning that Brian Hughes is in this race aboard Mon Nas Sleeves. That horse is 11-1. Matt Rennie, this is a real unique race. Are you going to be at York on Saturday to watch this?
I'm not. I'm at York tomorrow night for a nice evening, but it's my birthday next week, so I've taken a few days off, and I'm going to take a break from the sport, I think, after a while, to get myself G'd up for watching it on Saturday from home, probably, or wherever, maybe a pub or whatnot. But yeah, no, it looks a good card anyway. This race is always very novel, and it's really good that it's got its slot on ITV Racing as well, because it'll be something fresh for us all, and a good challenge for the jump jockeys as well. It's a very open race, and I'm going to go and want a double figure prize that might run a big race under the North's best jockey, Brian Hughes. Good to see him back after his last jump season was curtailed due to injury. I'm on the sleeve for me, Kevin Ryan and Brian Hughes at a double figure prize. He's been struggling for form, or struggling for consistency, really, for quite a while now. But this is a track that he seems to perform pretty well at. I remember a fair few years ago now, 2023, he impressively won a novice stakes on his debut, and he's done well in competitive handicaps there recently. He was well beaten at Beverley last time, but he was third behind a horse that was sent off favourite for the Scottish Stewards Cup on his penultimate start before that, and he was a good fifth in sort of a red hot handicap, 5-furlong handicap we see at the Ebor meeting, behind a horse called Trafor, and just ahead of him that day there was the man in second place, and he went and won Air Gold Cup, I believe. So he's got some really good back form in the book. He was also not too far behind American Affair last year over the course and distance, and look what American Affair went and did. You know, it's a funny one, really, because you can't go on this race. You definitely can't go on your favourite jockeys on the level, can you? You're placing throwing a bit of a dart at that one. But in Brian Hughes, I'm quite confident he'll be able to replicate his talents over jumps onto the flat. So yeah, each way prize, Monless Sleeve for me, about 11s or 12-1.
And Brian Hughes, Matt Rennie Trust, Monless Sleeve, 11-1 for him in the jumps jockeys Nunthorpe. Harry, back to punting pointers that we've already done already with regards to group horse in handicap. How do we analyse jumps jockeys in flat handicaps?
Oh, I suggest leaving the race alone.
Genuinely, is that like when you see like a race like this, like you know, you get some of these races where maybe you get kind of like female amateur riders come in for a race or something like that. Are they traditionally ones that you kind of leave alone, and you know, you'd rather see kind of a professional set of jockeys on board?
The female amateurs, the female cards that they hold at Carlisle and the likes of them, I really enjoy those cards. It's because you have, at least they're flat jockeys.
They're great races. They are really good races, and they're lovely to see. But do they come out as punting races for you?
I wouldn't say they are. It's so difficult because I feel like a lot more trainers target the meeting. So, like, recent form doesn't actually tend to come into the races as much as it can do on your day-to-day punting. Like for example, this jump jockeys race. Like, I've spoken to Paul Midgley before about this race, and he's a big supporter of the race, so you know he targets it every year, and he always tends to have three or four in it, so you've got to respect anything that he sends out. He's won it with Jonathan England on board before, and he's on the favourite. But last year, Jeff Oldroyd won it with Danny McMenamin in the saddle for Bond Thoroughbreds, and they've got a horse with a remarkably similar profile that's come from a different trainer and had a prep run. So that would probably be, but if I was going to have a play in the race, it would probably be that one, but I'll be leaving the race alone.
Be leaving the race alone. If all races, yeah, it'd be the one that I'd certainly be leaving alone this weekend, but always good fun to watch. Ed, what about yourself?
Well, we're going money back second or third in this race, and also extra place. It is a bit of fun for the jump jockeys. I've spoken to Nico de Boinville about riding in jump jockey flat races, and he's loved them. I think he won one, actually. Was it a good one he won? And they all love to do it. There's one at Chepstow at the beginning of the open meeting there, and they love to run on the flat, and it's all a bit of a, you know, rib tickling in the weighing room. So yeah, I probably agree with what Harry said. It's a race you probably don't want to get involved in too much. But I'm going to try to see if lightning strikes twice. Having said that, 2 years ago on this very show, I tipped up Charlie Todd to win this race on Night on Earth. And amazingly and luckily, he did do. I think he got a whip ban as well, but he won quite easily. That was a 6-1 favourite. And I've gone for him this time on Almaty Star. Again, it's just, I like Charlie Todd. He has been riding on the flat recently. Did take out a flat licence last year, was it? He has had 5 winners on the flat, I think, in total in his career. And this was the last one, Night on Earth. Almaty Star, Night on Earth was the last one. But the horse has got profile as well, which I like. It's not just picking out a name and saying he's going to win. He ran in the Epsom Dash, admittedly down the field, I mean right down the field, 18th. But only 5 runs ago, won off Marcus 75 at Yarmouth. All his wins have been at 5 furlongs. He's off not 79, his marks come down. So it's just an option in a race which is, you know, very difficult to fathom. The final piece of the jigsaw is the draw at York. I just don't have a clue about the draw at York. I do try to analyse these things, but I'm drawn 17 and Matt's horse is drawn 1. So, I mean, you don't know really. Obviously, the pace of the race and where they come from will determine that to a large degree. But I think we've had experts on this show before that have actually said York's draw bias is very difficult because there doesn't seem to be one, but you don't know where it is. I'll just put up Almaty Star, but it's hope rather than anything else.
Okay, Almaty Star then 12-1, money back second or third with Unibet in this race. Now the 2 o'clock then is the Skybet Dash over 6 furlongs. This is one of the heritage handicaps there, where Red Spell's Danger for those Billy Ocean fans is 11-2 favourite. Stratus 9, 13-2 alongside Addison Gray. Air Force 1 is 9-1. Pocklington 10-1. Musical Touch 11s, 12-1. And bigger the rest. This one might have more appeal to you, Mr. Harry Wilson.
Yeah, for sure, Sam. And I've only had one name in mind all week for this race, and that's Stratus 9, because he's due. That's exactly what he is. He's due one. He's been to York 3 times in big fields and come second every single time. And it's his run at York in May that's the one that really stands out, because that was over 5 furlong. And he was virtually last coming into the final furlong, and he made up so much ground and got beaten ahead. Winner that day was Partisan Hero, who's since placed in a Group 3 and a Group 2. And the third that day is Toca Madeira, who came out and won next time and is now like £10 higher. So the form is rock solid. That indicated a 6th furlong would be good. And he ran really well at Chester last time up to that trip. Did a lot of work early in that day. But York suits him best. Big field's lovely and he's definitely handicapped to win.
Stratus 9 then, Hugo Palmer and James Doyle teaming up 13-2. Currently, Matt Rennie for you in the Skybet Dash.
Yeah, I really like Stratus 9 as well, and that the race at York in May, the Partisan Hero one, can throw up some really good horses from time to time. I think Starlust won it, and he obviously went on to win a Breeders' Cup turf sprint down the line. I also do like another horse that ran in that race, Air Force 1. It's Jeff Aldroyd horse and Bond Thoroughbreds. It feels like they always like a day at York, but it feels like they've got a few arrows fired at this one. He wasn't too far behind Stratus 9 in that race, and he's, you know, if I'm backing Monla Sleeve a little bit in the first race, he was third in that really good handicap at York's Ebor meeting last year as well. So we know he goes really well at the course. The only concern is he's going up 6 furlongs, and most, if not all, of his racing has been done at 5. Maybe he's just ready for that step up as well, because in that York May race, he was slowly away and then staying on really well at the end. Sometimes that can be a bit of an illusion, but 11-1, I'm happy to have a little bit of each way on that as well, but I'll definitely see where Harry's coming from. Stratus 9 is a huge danger in this race.
Yeah, I love Stratus 9 as well, and I think right chance. I'm not going to go back to punting pointers here, Harry, because if I said, you know, if I join you on a horse when you fancy one, you know, does that put you off? And you'd probably say, absolutely. Ed, what is your thoughts on the 6 furlong handicap here?
Yeah, competitive 6 furlong handicap at York, which you would expect for the prize money. But I'm going to go for the same horse as I picked at another big handicap at York on the 13th of June, And that's Red Spell's Danger. I napped him that day. Keith Melbrose couldn't believe that I'd napped a horse in this race, and he was probably right, although he did only just get beat. I think I tipped him up at 13-2, went off at 7-2. And once again, he's about 13-2 at the moment. I like him. He has run subsequently at Newmarket. He still looked green for me, not at Newmarket, but before then. I still think he might be a step ahead of the handicap, but I'm hoping that he is. He's a horse that I like. I think there's another big win in him this season, and I'm hoping it's going to be on Saturday. We're going extra place. Tim Eastley's horses are in good form. So Red Spell's Danger to get the job done this time on the Knavesmire, having gone so close last time.
Still one of my favourite songs. It's not quite Red Light Spells Danger, but it's close enough. But Red Spells Danger for Ed Nicholson. Right, the final race we look at York is the Sky Bet York Stakes Mile 2 for this race here, coming at 2:35 there at York. It's a Group 2, where Item is the 2-1 favourite Royal Champion. Can't believe that this horse is 8, is 5-2. Damisus is 3-1. Pride of Arras is 11-2. And Dancing Gemini is 12-1. It's a really interesting race this year. And Royal Champion, first run this year, I believe, back in the UK, but ran some mighty races, especially out in Saudi. What a performance that was. Harry, 5 runners here. Very different to the handicaps we've been previewing, but just as competitive.
Yeah, it's a difficult little race, Sam. You can definitely make a case for a few in here. Obviously, Item coming back to the scene of his Dante win, although I'm still of the opinion that he was quite flattered that day, even if he did have the Derby winner back in third. Royal Champion, I think, is a massive danger. He won this last year. He's got a shoulder of penalty for his Group 1 win. So I'm going to be siding with Pride of Arras, another York horse, 2 from 2 at the track. Beat Damasus in the Dante last year before going on to win the Great Voltigeur under a penalty. He's a really solid alternative at the prices. Especially to Damasus, I took a view early this week. I couldn't really understand why he was twice the price of Damasus. No. He's already beaten him. And Damasus, I don't like horses who improve at a specific track and then go to a different track. It's by far his two best performances have been at Newmarket's Rowley Mile. He ran well in the Dante, but he's still nowhere near Pride of Arras. We'll stick with the York horse and go Pride of Arras.
Yeah, our two best races this weekend based on ability are probably this race and obviously the King George themselves. And I quite like the match bet double of Pride of Arras to finish ahead of Damasus and Mini Hawk to finish ahead of Benvenuto Cellini this weekend. Matt, I believe you're in agreement once again.
Very much so. I love Pride of Arras, especially when he comes back to the Knavesmire. He seems to just turn into this absolute machine when he gets here. Both times he did it in the Dante Stakes, you know, it was a bit of a surprise, but he absolutely got his career bang on track last time out. Well, last time he was here in the Great Voltigeur Stakes last year. Bit of an interrupted start to the season, so not really reading into his Grand Prix de Saint-Cloud run too much. I just think it was a lot to ask for on your first run back, essentially, this year. And I think just getting back to this track and over this trip as well, we know he's really versatile trip-wise now as well. It's just going to be seeing him to his absolute best effect. And I think the Dante form from last year is marginally better than the Dante form from this year. As Harry said, there may have been a Derby winner in it, but there's nothing really special about it otherwise. It's going to be a very interesting race for the form lines of the King George. Obviously, I know Pride of Arras was beaten miles in the Grand Prix de Saint-Cloud, but beaten by Calandigan, and Royal Champion was 2 places behind Masquerade Ball when they raced in Hong Kong with each other. So never keep an eye on that if you're on those two horses about which ones you might want to win. But I'm very much with Pride of Arras here. Horses for courses. He's going to win the York Stakes. It probably won't be a trial for the Jumbo International this year, but a nice prize for him to take anyway.
Yeah, horses for courses, Pride of Arras. I can't imagine how many times I'll say horse for courses next week at Goodwood, but probably over 10.5 would be a fair bet. Ed, agreement with Pride of Arras?
No, I'm going to go for the other Dante winner in the field. I'm going to go for Item. It might be heart over head here, because I saw him win at Bath and I spoke to Rob Hornby directly after. And I kid you not, he used the name to compare him with of Westover. He said the last horse I rode this night as nicely as a 2 year old was as a horse was Westover, and you know Westover went on to do great things as we know, ended his career second in the Arc, and he obviously doesn't ride this horse that often. In fact, this is the first time he's got on board with him since. He's only had two runs since, I think. But he has a lot of faith in the horse, and I sometimes think that's a good thing. If you've got a jockey, he has a lot of faith in the horse. I just think that helps. He thinks he's very good. He came ninth in the Derby, I think, didn't he? The ground, I don't think, would have suited him, as it didn't a lot of horses. I think this ground would be much more to his liking. I think he's still got a lot of possibilities. We don't know how good he is. Harry was saying, you know, the form of the race isn't particularly great, but he's only had a handful of runs. We don't know how good he is. He might be much better than he's shown. And I hope he is, because he took my eye when he won, and I've been following him, albeit just two races since. And yeah, I'd love him to prove as good as everyone thinks he is going to be. So yeah, item heart over head, I think. Although he's his favourite at the moment with us, I think he is favourite to win this race. We're going super boost, so once again every horse in this race will be boosted to the next price up the ladder from the first show.
Okay, and remember, you can head to Unibet's website and app to see all the terms and conditions with regard to all the offers they have this weekend and on other race meetings across the week. So Ed with item, and the gents are with Pride of Arras. So that's it for the ITV Racing Card. Do let us know who you fancy. Any of your best bets, do put down in the comments, and we'll give our best bets shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Here we are then, that time of the show, the final part of this week's Racing Postcast. Sam Hart, Matt Rennie, Harry Wilson and Ed Nixon. Now time to give our best bets for the weekend. So let's start off this week with you, Matt Rennie, and let us know who you fancy this weekend's your best bet.
Yep, staying local to me, 235 York, Skybet York Stakes, Pride of Arras. I think he's way overpriced, and I can see him absolutely bouncing back to his best and having us a happy Saturday. Pride of Arras for me.
Pride of Arras in the Group 2 at York. I'm going to go in the Group 1 at Ascot, the King George. I do think Calandigan is going to win this for a second time. He's a monster of a horse. I think he's going to love the ground. He's been prepped for this. I think it's a really strong field, but I cannot see Calandigan losing this. And there was plenty mentioned on that during the show, so do go and watch that if you are watching a social media clip of these best bets. Ed Nixon, you can go next. Who's your best bet?
Well, hopefully the champagne corks will be popping for me after the Moët and Chandon International, where I'm going for Amazing Journey to do just that. Appreciate the extra step up in distance to 7 furlongs and come home a winner at a track that he won on last time. So Amazing Journey to continue the journey and continue the journey into the winner's enclosure.
There you go. Safi Osborne, an Amazing Journey this weekend in the big handicap at Ascot. And Harry Wilson, you're here to finish us off with your best bet.
And the Skybet Dash, and it's Stratus 9. Horse who loves York and he's well handicapped. That's all you need.
That's all you need. I was thinking you were going to nap up in the jump jockeys and Unfort then, Harry, but that was going to happen. There you go then. Naps are on screen now. You can have a look at those. Do take a screenshot, but they are our best bets for the weekend. And that's it for this week's show. Big thanks to Matt, Harry and Ed, as always. And we are back on Sunday, 7 p.m, a really popular show, one of my favourite shows, but that's just me being biased because it is our top 5 Goodwood and Galway best bet show. It's myself, Ed Nicholson, David Jennings and Johnny Pearson giving you our top 5 bets for the two big festivals next week. But big thanks to our viewers as always. Do like, comment, share and subscribe. And we will see you on Sunday night, 7 p.m. for another Racing Postcast.